Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The reaction is just, it's strong. I don't know where Jason just said good riddance to the old stadium. And I just don't think Jason's seeing the entire picture.
I think Jason's seeing it quite
clearly.
You're
not seeing the entire picture. You can't just let the Browns and their performance on the field taint the experience that you've had in the stadium with your friends, your family. It hasn't been good football, so you've had to find some good experiences in the stadium, have you not?
I mean...
Oh, God, you're just the worst. I also think if you would have been... If you would not have spent the last 20 years in the press box, I think you would feel a lot different.
I didn't spend the last 20 years. I've spent the last 6, 7 in the press box.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, yeah, because you were covering the Cavs before that. Okay, yeah, great. All right. So, but any time, you've gone to like how many games as a fan? No,
probably 8 to 10.
That's still a sad number.
It's been a sad team.
You're a sad person.
Okay, fine.
See, checkmate.
Yeah, okay.
Do you agree with him? Do you say,
that's a Ken Carmen classic.
Do you say good riddance to the old stadium? Which again, is still the current stadium. Still have to play there for a few more years. Chester and Chardon, you're next up on the Fan. Yellow.
What's up? We are regarded as the best damn fan base in the world because we stick by our Cleveland Browns, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's the snow globe. It's negative 20 when we're against the Saints. It's Phil Dalton against the uprights. It's 10,373 snaps for Joe Thomas. It's having the child after the damn game. It is everything. All these people want to talk about the stadium and the weather and this and that. There's a 3-year waiting list for Brown season tickets. Give them up, you pansies. Give them to somebody that wants to walk out in the cold. It's about here we go, Brownies, after a loss. The walk of shame. Or here we go, Brownies, after a win. The walk of shame.
You know, you had it right the first time.
I still do the here we go, Brownies, after a loss. But, you know, that's because I'm in my basement now. Chester, thank you very much for the call. No, okay. I'm excited for the new stadium. I think a lot of people, probably now that we think it's basically happening now, are excited for the new stadium. But remember, there's a lot of things that are going to change. And I'm not just trying to scare everybody with price or anything like that. A lot of things are about to change. The guys who are season ticket holders who may be calling in right now, are you sure that the entire neighborhood of season ticket holders that you've been with for so many years are going to be there? You guys will all get to know each other. You know how that relationship is. You don't know if that's all going to be there the same. So things are going to change. And there's going to be hopefully good memories that happen in the new stadium. But I still tell you at the same time, you'll just feel the same way about the new place if they can't pick it up. If they can't start playing good football. And if we are talking about hexes and curses and things like that, then you guys better be quiet because still that land hasn't been dug on yet over there in Brook Park.
Those Ford workers were hardworking, honorable men. There's nothing wrong with that soil. That stadium would be just fine.
Is it along Brook Park Road over there? That tract?
Yeah. I think it borders it. I mean, it's a pretty big plot of land, so.
It's very large, yes.
It's 176 acres has been written 4,000 times.
Mike and Stowe, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Hello.
So, I'll go logistic with this.
Did they build the Pinto on that land? What if there's a curse of the Pinto? You have no idea. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
It was a pink one. It was a pink Pinto, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. See? Go ahead.
So, logistically, you know, no emotions aside, if that stadium and the old one were at the end of a dead end street and they, you know, because, and that's the worst part about it, getting in, getting out, it sucks. It's terrible. And it encompasses an extra 4 hours of your day, depending on where you park to go through this event. You know, where it's going to be, in and out, it's going to be a breeze, you know, excess, and it's going to be That is the best change of all. I mean it. I'm tired of sitting in traffic after a game. It's just going to be so much better. That's the best part. We don't have any memories there, you know, and you can't even see the lake from the stadium anyways, which was one of the biggest, you know, most of the time, which is the biggest failure of all. You know, if you really want to put it on the lake, let it show it off. You know, they didn't do that. So, yeah, good riddance.
Attaboy.
There you go. I guess I'm getting beat here. I'm telling you. You know what? I want to save all this audio. When's it go down? 2029?
New one opens.
I want to know what people say in 2020. The last game. So 2028 is the last game.
Yeah, it's a 30-year lease.
So. I want to know what people say last game 2028. I want to know what they say.
Same thing.
Glenn in the Falls. Hello.
Hey, Ken. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Hey. Yeah, I think I'm going to have no good memories. I've never had good memories from that place. Excuse me.
Yep.
But I do have something we could do. On the last day that stadium's open, we put up in a ring, like a wrestling ring, and have Jason and my grandpa. Hang on one second. Grandpa. Yeah, you and me, Jason.
Oh, my God.
We're going to get it on. We're going to fight. We're going to get some bungee sticks. We're going to get a chair. I'm going to hit you on the back. I'm going to get you like I should have got you a long time ago.
Man, that's a long callback.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Grandpa, stop. Leave me alone, son.
My God in heaven.
That's a callback.
I cannot believe
That's a deep callback.
The umpire from 1989.
The umpire from 1980, probably, 89, 90, somewhere. Was the umpire.
Okay, so tell the story real quick about everything. You have to tell the story about everything real quick, please.
Oh, man.
Real quick.
The coach,
callback.
Yeah, I was umpiring in Avon Lake, and there was this coach who was just berating me as a 13 or 14-year-old and saying how horrible I was, and I said, because this is how 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds think. I'll have you know, I was a 3-time All-Star. And he said, what, in the girls' league? And I said, you're gone. You're out of here. You're done. You'll never coach in this city again.
And then he wanted to fight you.
I wanted to fight him. I'll find that old man and kick in his door right
That's
now.
That's what it was. You were going to go find the old man and beat him up kicking now his as door. A 50-year-old man. He'd taken That's out what you cuffs. Were going
to do. That's right.
I had an old man follow me home one time after I threw him out of a game.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my dad was like, pull up to the driveway. And dad came out shirtless. And when the shirt comes off, look the bleep out. Because it was something else that afternoon. Brandon in Painesville. Hello.
Brother Ken Coleman.
Hello, Brandon.
This is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and Sweet Sapphire, baby.
It is not coming in hot. It is Thursday at 9.
Hey, the stadium. Look, Look, I've got some good memories at the stadium. Look, I took my kids there to see games. I went there. I'm not saying it's bad, but you know what? They never upgraded around it like they said they would, right? Mm.
That's true. That's true.
And let me say this as well. What really upset me was in 2000, and this is where I think this new venue is going to open up a lot of more doors and windows, because in 2000, so we're talking pretty new stadium yet. So Metallica did a tour, and they were coming with a big tour with a lot of big bands. And the stadium told them no, even though Metallica and the other bands said, we will pay for all the damages that are accrued in this. And the city said no. And so I think that's where we're going to get our money's worth here. And I think Cleveland missed out on this, Ken.
You know what, Brandon? I think the city wanted something different. I mean, you're talking dollars and donuts here with the actual city here. I have long thought this. You clearly have listened to the show for a while, Brandon. I never thought that the mayor was ever interested in really keeping him. I never have really thought. Maybe Jason could speak differently to it. I know he knows a lot of people who are downtown movers and shakers. I secretly think that this is what the mayor wants, because they want to use that for more permanent infrastructure with houses, with business, whatever they want to do. They have grand plans. And for that matter, I'm going to tell you this right now, Brandon. Brandon, thank you very much for the call. I'm not going to rip him yet for it. That's going to have to be a thing that turns into a 15-year plan on top of the time that they still have left in the stadium there. Because, you know, they did the same thing in Oakland. They said good riddance to the pro sports teams that left the city of Oakland. And I know one just moved across the bay over to San Francisco, being the Warriors. The other one's left. But they said good riddance to it, and they said that they wanted to build real infrastructure in that area and things like that. Well, we'll see what the city of Oakland does here over the next 15 years and whether there's a real true return on investment. I don't think the mayor's going to be the mayor in 15 years, so you ain't got to – I don't know if he's going to ever have to hear about it. But if they turn that into something worthwhile where there's downtown movers and shakers living in nice places along the lakefront, and you finally have a place to go along the lakefront, then great. Then great. I'm not gonna shoot my mouth off about them now. I just know that I just believe that the mayor and the mayor's office was never really serious about keeping them here.
Then they should have taken the money when it was offered to them.
Did they think that they were gonna get more? I don't know.
If this was their end goal, then they sure had a funny way of showing
it. Well, you gotta be careful what you're saying there, buddy. We got Jimmy Watkins at 9:22 for a second. I thought you were gonna say something else. Like, Blaine Griffin is the point man. Like, Blaine talked to us. He was the one doing all this. Where he said to himself, he's like, I got no real power in this, but he's the one talking about it. Yeah. Like, you're the mayor. Where are you at? Where's all your people at? And then when he tells the Galaxy, like, it's time to move on over on Fox 8, like, it's, we look at other things.
Right.
And then it's, whoa, easy now. Like, that when the spokesperson says yesterday, we are angered by this. Are you? I don't know if you are. I don't think you've been angered about it.
Well, then
that's my belief.
Then you don't take them to court to try and keep them. You take their money they're offering it.
I think you take them to. Well, I agree with you on that. I think you take them to court to try to keep them because you're trying to run for other offices. You want to keep up appearances on that because nobody wants to have people use it against them in different campaigns that you're the one who let the Browns leave downtown Cleveland.
Well, you let the Browns leave downtown Cleveland, but you got to check for $300 million in return. I think that's a pretty good. I'm just throwing a number.
Which is something that can also be used.
I'd like to just all encompass this for about the last 48 seconds of talk.
Reckless speculation.
It's my belief. The other thing he just said about money, I'm talking about my belief over here. Because everything I've heard and everything I've seen doesn't tell me anything very serious on their end down at City Hall about keeping them here. That's where I'm at on it.
And we're just getting started.
Browns have made a roster move. The Browns have released Obo Okoronkwo. Just happened. They signed kicker Andre
Schmidt.
It's Schmidt?
Yeah.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, if you look at their actual press release, okay. It says pronounced Schmidt.
S-Z-M-Y-T. Yeah,
it is not spelled Schmidt.
Wow.
A little weird how they did that release, right? Doesn't Obo deserve just a little more than that, than being the back end of we signed this practice squad kicker?
They must really like
30 games.
They must really like Isaiah McGuire. They must really like him.
He had no guaranteed money, I don't think. Last year of his deal, nothing guaranteed.
So they could have just played on it?
He's only $2 million dead cap hit this year.
Again, but you either have the player or you don't. So they must really like Isaiah McGuire. Yeah. Okay, hey, that's a draft pick, so hopefully he does well.
How old's Obo? Going to be
167 years old.
He's 30. Going to be 30.
Oh, he's only going to be 30. Okay. Jimmy Watkins joins us right now. Cleveland.com. Well, I got to ask him to start this. Are you a little bit surprised by this, Jimmy Watkins at Cleveland.com on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline?
Good morning, guys. I would say that a smidge surprise when Jason mentions the dead money. I'm never surprised when Andrew Berry makes that work to his cap sheet's advantage. I think it tells you, it does signal a level of confidence in what the Browns already have in the defensive line. I mean, Obo was moving toward, in certain portions of minicamp that I saw, moving towards the back of that line. We're talking about guys, like you said, Isaiah McGuire, Alex Wright, we'll call him JTS from Tampa Bay, the offseason signing.
Jimmy.
It's too early.
Joe Tryon Shoyinka is the man from Tampa Bay. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth. But I think it does signal a level of confidence in the guys that they already have. And I was thinking while we were all charting preseason quarterback reps, I was thinking, watching the defensive line, evaluating some of the names, this could be like a plus-plus strength for the Browns. Obviously, part of that thinking is that, man, this group is so deep that Oboe is you know, not working as much with the first team as you might originally think. Now he's gone. But I think it's a statement of confidence in the rest of that position group as much as anything else.
All right, on to more important matters. Please rank for me in chronological order your warm and fuzzy memories of this piece of crap.
Oh, for the love
of
God.
In chronological order.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Jimmy, where are you from?
I'm from the east side. I'm from Wilde.
Okay, so you grew up here then, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to make sure because I didn't know.
Please rank for me in chronological order.
So now he can rank in chronological order.
All of those incredible core memories you have of that dump on the lakefront. Go.
Hey, come on, that's not nice.
I think so. Here's the thing. I've heard Jason Scrooging a little bit this morning, and I understand his point that if we're ranking victories, important victories, meaningful football victories inside that stadium,
which is the whole reason why you're there.
It will be a short. It's not the whole. I lean more towards Ken, where I think you can. If when we're talking about the fan experience, your rankings might have more to do with a great Muni lot experience you have. Like, how many people's favorite memory from last year is keg bowling with Myles Garrett and Donovan Mitchell?
Good point.
You know,
the 15 people that were like there. That. The 20 people in that little
huddle. Oh, no. There was hundreds of people that were there.
How many hundreds. Were really up close and next to them? Hundreds?
Can I say there were more than at the Thunder Parade, or am I going to get killed on the internet again?
If you want a social experience, go to a bar. If you want to watch a football game, go to a stadium.
See, hold on. I want Jimmy's opinion on a lot of things, but now I just have to fight it out with him. He's right about the experience of tailgating. Now, tailgating's tailgating, and I'm sure we'll find ways to tailgate over at the
Absolutely.
New place. But when it comes to the Brown situation,
is not inside that dump of
when
the stadium.
When it comes to the Brown situation, it was different, and it was almost different from anything else you're ever going to find, because there were several neighborhoods. There was Under the Bridge, there was the Pit, there was West 6, there was obviously the Muni.
You're naming all the places outside the stadium.
But it's still around the stadium when they're getting ready to go into the stadium.
I'm talking about the stadium.
Well, if you can bring the around places to the new stadium,
you'll find new
you
around
go right on
You'll
ahead.
Find new around places at the
Ask
new stadium.
Ask Jimmy a question right now. Stop being a problematic person.
Are they going to carry four quarterbacks on the roster? There, you happy?
I think that's much more possible than I think general consensus believes. Because I have two lines of thinking on this. Number one, this idea that I do believe that if the Browns got the right offer for whoever they deem to be their expendable quarterback, veteran or otherwise, sure, they would take it. But why are we assuming that this desperate team X that has their starter get hurt in training camp or something else, why are they going crazy for Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett or a rookie mid-round quarterback? That has not ever made sense to me. And then number two, like, this doesn't have to be they're all on the roster all the time or not. You can work the practice squad. And again, if you put a guy on waivers, you run the risk that somebody may say, oh, Kenny Pickett for free? I can't possibly pass this up. But I'm just less convinced than it sounds like a lot of folks in town that's going to be the case. And I think this is a situation where you're going to want to be collecting a lot of data on a lot of different guys. I think all four guys not only will be on the roster, but all four guys will eventually play this season.
You know, Jimmy has a point here, Jay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jason, where you have this team that's desperate for quarterbacks, they just have to have one of our quarterbacks here with this four quarterback race. And I'm thinking, well, I'm desperate for a quarterback. Why aren't I just playing that guy instead of trading him away for future picks? What do I know that they don't? I think you got to think about that, Jason Lloyd.
I'm the one who said they're going to carry four.
I don't know. You just made me upset with you for what you said about the stadium over the last 40 minutes. Jimmy Watkins joining us here on the show. When it comes to Shedeur Sanders, do you think the Browns have handled him correctly?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. It feels like every Shedeur question is a loaded question these days. I will say this.
Why is that? Wait a minute. Why is every question about Shedeur a loaded question?
It's just like it's a fifth-round pick with a disproportionate spotlight on him, so you always want to... I feel like insofar as people who record OTA and minicamp passes on their phones are big J journalists, we do have some sort of duty to push back a little bit on what is naturally going to be the Shedeur hype cycle. At the same time, he's not your usual fifth round pick, so that's a dance you have to do. I would say this. I've been thinking about this. Shedeur is not getting enough reps. There seems to be the sentiment that the Browns are trying to intentionally humble him or hold him back or give them a higher burden of proof to earn more reps than what someone else who had performed like him in minicamp OTAs, which was pretty well, all things considered, including the context that he wasn't getting a ton of reps with starters or near starters. My takeaway has been in the weeks since that time, why would that be such a bad thing? Why would it be such a bad thing for the Browns to, if they're doing this, I mostly think this is he's a fifth round pick. Fifth round picks have a higher burden of proof in general. But if the Browns are, if there is meaning in his locker placement being near the bathroom, if there is meaning in his reps being limited by a significant margin compared to the other guys, why is that such a bad thing? The whole knock on him coming out of the draft was he didn't handle the interviews well. I'm thinking specifically of one anecdote that Todd McShay gave ahead of the draft where I think it was the Giants had him in there and they wanted to draw up a concept and he didn't know the concept and then he didn't handle it well when they were called out on that. Clearly the Browns didn't have the same experience. They thought that Shedeur handled himself well when he met with the team and they were not scared away by everything that comes with him. But what's wrong with double-checking your work? What's wrong with putting him in adverse situations and saying, let's see how he handles this? And what's wrong, you know, the speeding tickets, the last two speeding tickets that he's gotten, what we heard about last week, those have become a big deal. They would be such a bigger deal if they had already decided, well, he's firmly in the race to start week one, and let's give him some first team reps in minicamp and OTAs. Let's treat him different from your typical fifth round pick. Why is it such a bad thing? Why is it such a bad thing that they are slow playing Shedeur Sanders development? If they are,
I would agree, but I just don't think that. I just don't think it's humbling. I don't think that they need to humble him. I mean, he was taken in the fifth round. He was taken on day three. I think he's probably getting just as many opportunities as any fifth round quarterback would get. They took Dillon Gabriel because they really liked Dillon Gabriel. They took a flyer on Shedeur Sanders, and they have made that very, very, very clear. And there definitely are people, listeners out there, fans, who just don't simply want to believe that. Like the Browns are handling it so terribly. And I'm going, no, I think they're handling it as well as they could. I think that with the PR stuff, they've given them their separate day to talk. I mean, how much talk have we had about Mason Graham? None. He was number 5 overall pick, for crying out loud. And they've put the quarterbacks on separate days. I think it's made sense. And I think that they've mixed it up when the cameras are there. So to say that, and obviously you're not saying it, we agree with each other, to say that they're denying him the opportunity, I don't think that they're denying him anything. I think he's getting, more than likely, the same opportunities that fifth-round choices get for most football teams, especially when you have 4 guys in camp.
This team hasn't had a franchise quarterback in 30 years.
Yeah, why wouldn't they want to give him a chance?
If they thought he was ready, they would give him every opportunity and beg him to be the guy.
Yes, absolutely yes. Sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
Well, if they thought he was ready, they wouldn't have waited 144 picks to draft him either, right?
Like, yeah.
They drafted another sub-6-foot quarterback over him. They drafted not one but 2 running backs over him. Everything about this suggests one thing, but because his last name is Sanders, because, frankly, he does throw a pretty mini-camp ball to end-of-roster guys, and because what it is at the end of the day, the city is so freaking starved for any semblance of a plan at quarterback, it all has to be more than that.
Well, that's why I don't think any of these guys are a waste of time. I still have two first-round picks next year, so I'm not as... Like, I like Shador, so it doesn't matter to me, but I don't look at guys like, this is a waste of a pick, a waste of time. I don't see the same thing as Dylan Gabriel. It's like, well, I got two picks next year, so what the hell?
You got 1 year to kill between now and when you think you're going to get your franchise quarterback. Throw them out there and take a look at them.
The only difference is I just don't think it's plausible to actually put them out there in week one, either of those guys, because I just think it's irresponsible to put those guys in that position.
We talked about this. I'm sorry, Jamie. I'll get you back in a second. We talked about this Monday. I said if it's close, I don't expect it to be close. I said if it's close, throw the rookie out there. But no, I expect a veteran to start week one. Jimmy, what say you? Veteran or rookie week one?
And do you think it could be Kenny Pickett or Joe?
Definitely going to be veteran. That's the easy part. Because look at this. We talked so much about the schedule. You're doing your rookie no favors, particularly your mid to late round rookie, no favors by throwing him into the shark pool that is the first 6 weeks of this Brown schedule. The natural inflection point will be whatever their record is at the end of that. I kind of think the optimists will have the air drained out of their balloons relatively quickly. They'll be 1-2 or whatever after that first stretch, and then it'll be time to enter the information collection phase with your Dylan Gabriels and your Shador Sanders. I guess if Joe Flacco, if you're trying to win as many games as possible next year, Joe Flacco should be your week one starter. If you are treating this whole year like an experimental situation and you're just getting in the lab, then I think you should see what you have with Kenny Pickett. I think I know the answer to what you have with Kenny Pickett, which is not much except maybe the occasional fun third down scramble and 2 minute drill. But if the Browns clearly think there's more meat on that bone. So if that's how they're treating the season, if this is all experimental and it's all about 2026, then I would roll out Kenny Pickett to just gather some data.
Do you find Kevin Stefanski to be overrated or underrated by the media?
The media is, I don't know. I don't have a great feel on what all of us, we bigwigs, or self-supposed bigwigs, think. I do think he's underrated by the city. I do think that we get caught up in the small week-to-week conversations where, why'd he call this play on third down? He's overthinking it, and he does do this sometimes where, third and short, he tries to throw it over people's head when you could have just gone forward for a yard. And no play caller is perfect in any situation. But big picture here, this is already one of the longest tenured coaches in recent franchise history, even not so recent franchise history. And he is already one of the most successful coaches. As sad as these facts may be, they are still facts. And he has, since he's been given keys to call plays, and this dates back to his year with Minnesota, we got Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield, all having career best QBRs or passer ratings under this guy, and Joe Flacco reviving his career to the point where I think, like, Joe Flacco, well, I know Joe Flacco was on his way out of football before Kevin Stefanski found him on his couch in 2023. Now Joe Flacco has extended his career by at least 2 years as a result of playing Kevin Stefanski's offense. I think he is decidedly underrated by the locals.
Jimmy, find him on Twitter, at JimmyWatkins95. Jimmy, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Appreciate you guys.
See you, buddy.
Jimmy Watkins on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great tweet from a guy named Carl who listens to the show. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You had said good riddance to the old stadium.
Yep.
Carl had said, I get what Ken is saying about this stadium. He has father and son memories there, if nothing else, and that outweighs the stadium itself. At 51, Jason, I agree with you. The old stadium has more memorable moments. I got yelled at by Roger Clemens there, talking about Municipal Stadium.
Yeah.
Municipal Stadium. Well, Municipal Stadium has a total package. I mean, the team won a World Series there. The Indians won a World Series there. The Browns won World Championships there. There's no comparison.
I got stoned there at 8 years old.
It has the total package.
I did. Secondary smoke. We were sitting in the bleachers. Even this is like before.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dog pound days. Brown Steelers preseason game, and the dudes behind us were smoking weed, and I got so stoned off their smell. It was bad.
You got secondary stoned?
Oh, yeah. At 8, 9, 10, something like that.
I don't have one saying statute of limitations, but that's what it is.
I threw up all over the concourse.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. I got so sick.
Anyway.
And you'd still rather have that memory than anything you had in the
Yes. Like, yes.
If you want to talk
caught
about.
Caught my first foul ball from Daryl Hamilton in the old stadium.
See, I never got a foul ball ever.
There was only 9 people in the game. How'd you not get a foul ball?
Never got one.
I did.
Never happened. I met Lil Jon at the old stadium.
Yeah.
I tell that story all the time. My dad went nuts. It was great. He's like, there he is. He drugged me over there as fast as he could. I thought my arm was going to come out of socket.
No East Side Boys, though?
No. And I remember my dad going, Kenny's just as tall as he is, man. He's great. I was like, yeah, great. Because, I watched Big Chuck Little John back in the day. So that was, yeah. I mean, there's certain things you can't get away with now, like certain ethnic plumbers and things like that. But still, it was a great show.
Yeah.
The first Indians game I ever went to, they won 57 games that year. So that's kind of the point I'm making. It's like, hey, man, they were a bad baseball team. You never went there thinking they're going to win. The Browns are a bad football team. You never thought they were going to win over the last 25 years. But there's memories that supersede what's going on out there in the field. That said, I'm excited for a new stadium coming up here in a few years. But I'm just saying things are going to change. So try to enjoy the memories of the old building. But no one is going to call in. Like, people will still call in and wax poetically about the old stadium. And so will I. And I'll let it happen.
Yep.
There was a lot of things that were cool about the old stadium that you just don't get in new stadiums. Catwalks, things like that, it just ain't going to happen. But they're not going to call in about this stadium when they start calling in about the new stadium.
No.
No. There is something else that has kind of got my attention here. Cam Jordan, I want to make sure that this is – I want to make sure this is true. Cam Jordan had said that he wants the NFL to bring taunting back. And it said, quote, I get a sack on the quarterback. I got this from Ty Dunn. He says, I get a sack on the quarterback. Give me 5 seconds. Put the spotlight on me. Let me celebrate. It's okay to taunt. Bring back taunting. Let me talk my bleep. And I totally agree. I say, grown men, entertainment business, let them do it. Let them do their thing. Hold on, I you know where I'm going to end up going with this because you know the number one response what it was. But what were you going
to
say?
No, I think I tend to agree with you. Go ahead.
I got some people. They were making fun of it, but a lot of people were saying you got what about the kids? And to that, like, I did get wait until your kid does it. Go, folks. Now, I'm not a great example because I'm a nut job. If you want to share memories from when we were kids, I'm in fifth grade. I'm playing for the B League Dolphins. We are playing, it was opening day. We were playing Washington because we went after NFL teams, right?
Yeah.
So we're playing Washington. They came from Northwest. Big opening day matchup at Perry Park, brother. First play, did the sack, got up, did the Macarena. Brought the house down. My dad, if I'm not mistaken, I would have remembered he whooped my ass over it. I think he actually thought it was kind of funny to see a big fat kid get up and do the Macarena after a sack. They didn't call a penalty on me. They didn't do that, which I was surprised about that. So maybe I'm not the best example because I am a hot dog in so many ways. But I'm thinking, okay, if my son does this, first off, my son has to put himself in a position to make a sack. Okay, good luck with that, Junior. Second of all, if he does it, it's up to me to parent him. It's up to me to deal with it. I grew up during the time of Deion Sanders. So we used to have this game called the Pageant at Perry High School Stadium back in the day. And it was when Deion was with the Cowboys. And the bandana was up. And guess what? We all got bandanas. And guess how we took the field? Helmets off,
yep.
With the bandanas up. Because I love Deion Sanders as much as anybody. And I turned out messed up.
But everybody else seemed to turn out just fine. Productive members of society on that Dolphins football team back in the day. And then I played for the A-League Cowboys when I got to sixth grade. And you want to talk about running your ass off. Holy God, that was some running. What?
Well, I was just going to say, all the Perry Panthers turned out good, productive members.
We're moving on. I'm just saying is that...
Oh,
geez. Just saying is that it's up to me to look after my boy on what he does on the field or what he doesn't do on the field. I could always look at him and go, yeah, Myles Garrett can do his sack dance all he wants. He gets paid $123 million to entertain me. You ain't getting paid nothing, Junior. He earned it. You didn't. I could always do that.
Yeah, but that's you, and you know as well as I do that for the 30 kids that you have on your football team, not all 30 of them have a parent that's going
to
come out.
Well, yeah, but I'm one of their football coaches as well, and I could always say the same thing to one of them if I want to.
Well, that's you, and you know for every 12 teams in a league, not all 12 teams of them have coaches that are going to...
You are correct.
Keep that in line.
You are correct, and that would be a problem for them. Now, you are the type of person to keep something in line, so I ain't got to worry about you. Jason is a different story. But you are the type of the one to keep things in line. So I wouldn't have to worry about you or anything like that. But it's like, hey, man, it's a very simple explanation. They get paid a lot of money to entertain me on Sundays. You get paid nothing. You're playing for the love of the game. You dream about being there someday. But until you get there someday, which you probably won't, then no. Or I could just say, hey, they're having fun. Is everybody upset? No, everybody's not upset. Okay, we're moving on.
Is it hypocritical of me to, I think I tend to agree with you, yet the Browns dancing on defense last year drove me freaking crazy.
But that's part of the entertainment. That's part of the entertainment.
That drove me nuts.
I know, but me getting mad about that, drawing emotion from it, from professional sports, that's still part of the entertainment. It's bad entertainment. It makes me angry. It made me angry, but that's still part of it. So you could, hey, if you did something good, you can celebrate. I still think you should know the scoreboard and know what's going on and yes. Do it in its right spot. But hey, man, we could do this. I remember Lawrence Vickers doing the motorcycle when they made it 30-7. I was like, what are we doing?
I hate stuff. That's the stuff that drives
me nuts. But Lawrence was going to get his. He was going to get his. And that can drive you nuts. But hey, man, like, it's up to me to make sure my sons try to do the right thing. They can't be angels all the time, clearly. I've told you some of the stories about that. But it's up to me to try to make sure that they do the right thing. And if he wants to do the Macarena or if he wanted to do the... I used to do the Gilbert Brown shovel.
The shovel. That's good.
Oh, and I did the Gilbert Browns. I did the Neil Smith.
Okay. Baseball bat.
Yeah. Yep, pointing the home run. Can somebody did that
bring,
one.
Can somebody bring back the Icky shuffle?
That's way too old, man. I didn't do that one.
Did I just date myself?
Yes, you did.
Jason, you have a son who's a defensive end, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? Yeah, I do.
I had a kid.
Yeah.
My buddy.
You better teach it to him.
My buddy Eric, he got a fumble and did the Merton Hanks. With the head bob.
Oh, the head bob.
Yeah, those were the days, brother.
Yeah.
That was, gosh, bring that back. He ended up okay. Everybody ended up fine. Don't you worry about that. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Jimmy, what? Don't even start.
I did the DX.
You did the DX?
I did that. And then we also did, you know, Batista did like the double-handled gun thing. Yeah. This is before him.
Yeah.
But we did something very similar. It was kind of like a Sean Merriman lights out. That was before him.
This is where you're older than us. Like, if I'm talking to a man of a certain age, all of us had at least one day in detention for doing DX in the school. I never did DX, like, playing sports. That never happened.
Never did it towards the other team. Always did it towards our student section.
Oh, that makes it better.
I, in fact, had two words for them, Ken.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.